daily readings and Friday night of Easter. Oh, yesterday or today? You said today, right?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay, here we go.
I already hit record.
Wonderful.
Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers. This is Father Brian.
And this is Father Tay.
Boom. Well, thank you for joining us for the post-Easter epilogues here.
Yeah!
Made it through Lent. Hopefully you enjoyed Camille Zimmer's chat. That was a talk that she gave at the Newman Center last fall. So if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to listen to it. It was quite fascinating. So her journey of living in, or yeah, as we all are, attempting to live in the resurrection. So today, I mean, we're recording this on Friday of the octave, but going to talk about, is it today or is it yesterday? Oh, maybe it's yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, it's today.
Okay. I trust you. They go back fishing. The disciples go back fishing after Jesus rose from the dead. Alrighty.
What was yesterday?
Yesterday was
the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, yesterday. No, that was Wednesday was the road to Emmaus. Yesterday was the end of the road to Emmaus.
Correct. Sorry. Yep, right.
Okay, let's do that one from Luke. You want to do it?
Sure. The disciples of Jesus recount to what had taken place along the way, and how they come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalm must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
So this post, post-Easter, Father Tay, and I just want to walk through what it looks like to live the resurrection as best we can for these 50 days and just in and out of our life. And the reason why I want to bring this up is, so it's the end of the road to Emmaus. I think we all know the road to Emmaus well enough that Jesus is walking essentially in the wrong direction with his disciples, and then at a certain point brings about a Bible study of the most epic kind. And then he's made known in the breaking of the bread, and that's what shoots him back to going into the right direction. So anyways, the reason why I wanted to bring up this was they're done sharing what the Lord did on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord comes into their midst and says, "Peace be with you," which is both startling and terrifying. They thought they were seeing a ghost. The Lord didn't say, "You had a horrible Lent, I don't like you."
Yeah, it was the opposite, right?
Didn't say, "You betrayed me on the cross, where were you? You left me for dead," literally. He says, "Peace be with you," right? So like, yeah, wherever we are in our life, it's the... That's the voice of the Lord is "Peace be with you."
I like that saying too, is because it's a sign of blessing, right? Like, I bless you, You're a part of me. I want you in my family, so I'm bestowing my peace upon you. I love what you said too, right? Yeah, we often think about our Lent was horrible. So now that
we're...
However well it went, right? Sometimes we're like, we're undeserving, right? We're undeserving. Jesus knows that. God knows that. But yet, he continues to meet us where we're at and calls us for more.
It's one of my favorite unanswered prayers of St. Peter. Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus doesn't get out of the boat.
Yeah, he just stands there.
I mean, it's a prayer, right? And the Lord sees through that, right? And says, no, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So it's just a great grace of the Lord, of knowing the Lord. So his response is always, peace be with you. Not as the world gives you, do I give it to you. And then he goes into this, why are you troubled? Why do you questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. Just want to point out this hands and the feet thing.
Yes.
All right, I'll let you go with it. What do you got?
No. I loved it. It's because, like, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he has a glorified body. So for me, it's fascinating. Like, he could have chosen to have his hands healed and also his feet to be healed too as well. But he refuses. He's like, no, look, these are my hands and these are my feet. So I preached to my parishioner saying, like, this is also a reminder for us that his wounds continue to bleed for us, to sanctify us, to cleanse us, right? So, like, when we look at these wounds, it's not just a reminder that we're always somber for what we did, but to claim more, right? Lord, I'm sorry that this has happened, but I'm going to spread about your love and mercy for me and the rest of humanity.
Yeah, the weird part is right, normally we don't show our wounds. Normally we don't brag about our wounds. And yet, here's Christ. Like, normally we cover up our wounds and, we just don't talk about them or show them or, correct, you know, be healed in them. But here the Lord is showing his hands and his feet, his wounded spots, and just a deep vulnerability of the Lord. Again, going into the peace be with you. Real reality of that is the Lord's not saying that out of a high and mighty peace be with you just because I don't care about your woundedness. He's saying peace be with you because he's showing us a way of him showing his woundedness so that we can put our woundedness within his woundedness, which is why they're incredulous, still incredulous for joy, and we're amazed. Mm-hmm. Because we don't normally brag about that, but it's a great opportunity to...
Correct. But, yeah, and the tough part about that, too, is because now the world is kind of in a spot where, like, we do show it to the world, right? And kind of glorify it a little bit too much. Versus, you know, just a quick example. Like, when I was growing up, like, if you worked in Federated Insurance in Owatonna, like, tattoos were no-no. So, like, I had guys that were playing basketball with me would cover up even their tattoos. So, like... For Jesus, kind of going back to yourself, for Jesus to do this, like, people, you know, what time we understood, like, if you worked at Federated, you had to cover all these tattoos up. Now it's just like a common thing, right? Mm-hmm. So the young generation might not understand, like, what's the big deal? Well, we don't go praying around these things. There was a time period where you didn't.
Sure.
But the next part is kind of hilarious. Jesus further proves that he is not a ghost by saying, hey, I'm hungry. You got anything to eat?
Yeah, right. Took it, ate it in front of them. I love that it was added in front of them. It's awesome.
But the next part is it shows that even though he gives them the time to adjust to his new glorified body, he still continues to tell them and teach them and send them on mission. He says, remember, guys, that these are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses And the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled. He's reminding them, this needed to happen in order to bring about the will of the Father. Like, I just didn't do this because it was a good idea. No, I did this because I knew that it would bring salvation for all. And so I need you now to tell people what you've seen, what you've heard.
Mm-hmm. Thus it is written that the Christ would have to suffer. So this is the fun part about obedience, the weird part about obedience. Is the Son of God was obedient. The one that could do anything he really wanted, right? He created everything, but correct, he was obedient to what was foretold of him in order that we wouldn't miss him. And people have, but whatever. It's where faith is a gift. Would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and forgive for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are all witness of these things. Why is he, like, why is St. John ending it with that, you are witness of these things? Well, that's the entire story here. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then tomorrow, even after this encounter, Peter's like, I'm going fishing. Okay.
He totally forgot.
And then at the very end of that, it was like, this is the third time Jesus has appeared to them. Okay, well, this, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But this phrase is just like, this beautiful phrase of just like, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. That repentance of sins, the forgiveness of sins, may be preached in his name. So, and you and I to be witnesses of that in the resurrection.
Yeah.
So what do we do? How do we live out the resurrection? Be forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Be understanding.
Be kind. Be compassionate.
Don't be a jerk.
You know, and I know it sounds so simple, guys, when you hear it spoken like this, but it's the truth, right? What happens when we're not forgiving and we hold on to this bitterness or resentment is because, like, we're very, like, linear. Sometimes very too much logical people, right? Like, hey, Easter has come. Christ has risen from the dead. The octave is over. Like, I'm moving on to the next thing. I'm hoping for Pentecost. No, the church has given us this time and season to really dive into what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to, like, practice on a daily basis, right? So what Father Brian talked about forgiving, right? When we're not forgiving, it's because we think that we forget that we're broken. And so we kind of assume this, like, superiority sometimes. We think about it and saying, well, you know, if they had known better, you know, if they were raised right, well, that assumption could, may or may not be true. But there's a reason why God has allowed you to see that. And the soul of a person is right in front of you. That is a real life human being. Their soul has value. God has found them worthy. And you're put there in that precise moment for a reason. What are you going to do next?
Who was it?
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody, and they're talking about the book Uniformity with God's Will.
Yes, St. Alphonsus Liguori.
Yeah.
Probably
and they were saying, like, sins against you. Sins against you. The Lord allows for us to grow, which is crazy. And what?
Yeah.
But, like, the present moment is the moment in which I can be most with the Lord and learn the most about myself and what he can do through me. I don't know. It was a profound conversation that we had. I don't remember exactly all of it, but cool. What else do we got?
And another part, too, like, All those resolutions that you've done for Lent, it's just, I know Father Brian talked a lot about this, it's not just for self-help, right? Like, get back on your diet, get working out.
Don't eat sweets.
Yeah. But go further, right? If you had replaced not eating sweets, but then giving money to the poor, like something, replacing a bad habit with an act of virtue, continue that through Easter. Like, how are you loving Jesus as he walks among us? Right, like look at all the gospels after. I love it during after the act of Easter, they forgot that it was Jesus. the disciples say Emmaus, they could not recognize him. Mary Magdalene could not recognize him, right? And now these disciples are like, "Who are you?" Right? Or Saint Peter, "I'm going back to fishing." Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you: don't go back to your previous lives, right? Meaning, like, where you're like, what's the point of suffering for 40 days for Christ in Lent, and then, like, I get to indulge, right? I get to binge watching all my favorite TV shows. I get to binge on all the sweets. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, we're supposed to celebrate, but moderation is always good. Like, remember, bring it back to God. What does God want of me? Right? How am I being a joyful person? Is being a gluttony an act of joy, or is this something else, right? Because I've been praying with this and being challenged. The Lord looked at me, he's like, why is it that you try to escape from from a pure joy to like a cheaper joy. I'm like, well, because I kind of want it now. And the Lord's like, but once you get it, where does it go? I'm like, shoot. Yeah, it leaves quicker than it comes. Exactly. So like the true Easter season joy is to realize that we are now completed in Christ Jesus and no one else can do it, right? Jesus tells us, I tell you this so that your joy may be in you and I may be, you may be in me and I may be in you and your joy may be complete. Like only Christ can complete all those natural yearnings and desires that we have.
Julio.
Yep.
So Simon. So just to do some parallels here, we're not going to read it. We're just going to highlight it. But Jesus, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the best is they all say, we'll come with you. I just love that. Like, you know what?
We're hoping that one guy.
Resurrection from the Lord. You know what? I'm going to go fishing. I mean, that would be my response. So I'm not judging him at all.
You kind of feel pain for the Lord, right? Like, come on, maybe one. Maybe just one of them will say, you know, the Lord has told us that, no. We're all good. If you go, we go
we're
too.
We're gonna exactly do what the Lord said and go back to Galilee, the place that he first called us. And we're going to go fishing. Oh, okay, cool. And the Lord comes into that, right? Into that reality wherever we end ourselves back to where the first Lord first called us.
Which is hilarious. It's true because he calls from the shore. Right, he calls on the shore. Hey, have you caught anything?
Right, no, Lord. Again, like, and they're like, no, we haven't. And then, have you killed children? Have you caught anything? Like downgrading them almost in some sense. Like me and the Lord. Like,
And the next hilarious part is that he already had fish. Right. Cooking, which is even better.
Like that is in one version. That's not in this version, but that is in one version.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny. Like, you fish all night. Here, I already have it done for you.
I did this, guys. Watch me. I'm the Son of God raised from the dead.
Exactly.
So they say the answer no, they cast over the net. Anyways, they found something. They were not able to pull it in. It is the Lord. Awesome. And then... So the disciple whom Jesus loved, I forget who it was. Who was the Franciscan that came to IHM?
Oh, Father. I think it's Father David Mary.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he would always say jokingly, he would always go, John's gospel was the last gospel to be written. And so John just put in the beloved. Who ran to the tomb first? Who got there first? The beloved. Who's the beloved? Me.
Me.
I'm just going to call myself the beloved the entire time in my gospel.
Yeah, my priest friends, one of my priest friends sent me that text. Who's going to know? Peter, look at John. Who's going to know that you beat me? John's like, watch.
Everyone knows. Everyone's going to know. Anyways, I love this, that when Simon here, this time when he hears it's the Lord, he tucks into his garments and he was lightly clad and jumped into the sea. The last time Peter got out of a boat, was to walk on water. So it's interesting that, like, now Peter's heart is in a place of maybe he was expecting to walk on water, seeing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the humanly impossible thing, but the divine, super simple thing. So it's an interesting thing to pray with, for sure.
But that's a good point to mention, too. Like, this is what happened, this is what can happen to your life. When you live out of truth, when you live in Jesus and continue on the lessons of the resurrection.
Truth or trust, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, and then this last one, they bring this net ashore this time. The first time they caught fish, boats were in fear of tipping, nets were being torn. This time, all the fish are nothing is being torn, nothing is being broken. And so the church fathers will go into how that's the gift of the Holy Spirit for us and in humanity, because humanity is looking for one thing to go after. Mm-hmm. And this gives us the opportunity to be netted across the world, essentially, being in the church and being in the sacraments, that the Holy Spirit's the one that keeps it together. And then 153 large fishes. There's your homework. Maybe we'll talk about that one next time.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fun one. Go research why there's 153 fishes, and the first time, they didn't count them. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's a weird number, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had breakfast with the Lord.
True. That. Yeah, that's insane. The more I read all the scriptures, I think it's how cool that the Lord is so forgiving and so patient with all of us, right? Like, he gives his mission, right? Hey, be witnesses. And they're good for like a couple of days and forget. The Lord appears again. They forget. The Lord appears again, right? This is the eternal story of like, come on, guys. Let's be a little bit more trusting, right? Let's believe in the
power. What are you talking about? It's the story of my life.
I'm guilty of this too. But
Lord, did you really love me yesterday and call me into existence yesterday? Are you going to do it again today?
Because apparently no one else got the same memo. Everyone. You know, I think it's the beauty of the power of the resurrection, right? Just, just the Lord accepting, loving all of us. So, yeah.
Mm.
Well, thank you so much for tweeting into our podcast. We encourage you to continue this presence of holy joy in the Easter season for you and your family. God bless.
Holy joy. We're going to go into some other things here within the next few times.
Mm-hmm.
And just walk through, do some interviews with some people that they've just had a different life from their encounter with walking with the Lord or higher power. So stay tuned for those coming up in May, ideally. So, all right. Stay holy, my friends.
All righty. We'll see you.